And hearty hello, everybody. It's Tyler Yonke, Between Two Wheels Podcast, coming to you live on a Friday night. It's March 15, it's about 7:30 p.m. Pacific. And we're going to go over Milan-San Remo and then do a little land park coming up. So welcome, everybody. I hope you're doing fine. Hope you enjoyed the races last week. And the amazing Americans sandwiching over there, the Remco Evenepoel and Perry Neese. There we go. Okay, let's get right to it. The Milano San Remo. And I think we got Victor in the chat. Yes, how you did? Pro Cycling Podcast with Tyler Yonke. Awesome. Yeah, hope you're doing good. Just giving everybody a little bit of time to come in here if anybody is going to come in. And then we're going to get to it. So Milano San Remo, it's the first monument of the year. There is our winner last year, Matteo van der Poel of De Quina, Alpecin De Quina. He said he's not intimidated with Pogacar's form ahead of the Milano San Remo clash. Now, I'm going to just jump right into some things here. One of them is people are saying, hey, you can't just pick, van der Poel for this race, being the fact that it's his first race of the year. He hasn't done any racing at all. And you're like, yeah, I get that. But how about Pogacar? Pogacar goes into, is that a monument? Strada Bianca, and destroys everybody with his first race of the year. And then I will also say, Matthew van der Poel did cross racing, late into the year. And that makes a bit of a difference. Plus, we're seeing these riders coming into form all different kinds of ways. So I don't know that would normally say a little bit to me, because you don't know where he's at. That's part of the prediction problem you have with this one. But, anyway, so let's jump into the race itself as far as some of the essentials. The Milano San Remo, 115th edition. It'll be Saturday, March 16th. Starts in Pavia, Italy. Goes to San Remo, Italy. I don't know. Sometimes they have it like all one word. San Remo, Milano, Milan, San Remo, I don't know. 288 kilometers, it's a bit of a haul. And defending champ Matteo van der Poel, we know that. Live coverage, yeah, it's going to be on Max for us here in the States. I'm just going to go through this Velo article because it kind of helps us break this thing down. It's been 30 years since a winner's come from a long distance attack. That doesn't make sense. But with Pogacar and van der Poel in the bunch, there's always speculation that there could be moves starting on the Cipressa. With so many favorites starting the race believing in their chances, the race will likely be tightly controlled until the short but explosive closing 10 kilometers that carry the peloton up and over the Poggio and down the Via Roma to San Remo. That's my Italian right there. The faster and more explosive bunch means it's getting harder for the sprinters to win what's been long been called the Sprinters Classic. In fact, Arnaud Démare 2016 is the last fast man to take the flowers. Rumored, I think, on that race that Démare was holding on to the car. He was being accused of that at the time. Very interesting. And then I think later on the Tour de France as well. At least if I remember that right. I could be wrong. I mean, file a defamation suit against me. We're going to talk about some favorites. I'm not going to really go. I'll go over those myself later on. We'll do some updates here. And I will get to this, but Nelson Palace is out. Brandon McNulty is out. McNulty's replaced by Isaac Del Toro. Team UAE and Luca Lamperti was added to Sudal Quick Steps roster. Sprinters hoping to steal back their crown include Biniam Girmay of Intermarché Wanty, Caleb Ewing, Michael Matthews, Jaco Alula, those two for that team, Jonathan Milan, Little Trek, and former winner Alexander Kristoff, Uno X, he's not going to get it. Former winners Kristoff, Démare, Kwiatkowski, Alaphilippe, Stuyven, Mohoric are all expected to race. Wout is not going to be in the group, so we're going to be missing him. Just makes it a little bit different. And maybe we talk about, like Estrada, just, some top notch people. It means you just have to, one, it's a few things. One, while it's not there, so you don't have to watch him, of course. So Pogacar and van der Poel can watch each other. But, unless, and hopefully, you know, like UAE's out McNulty, which I think is actually pretty significant. They're bringing in Del Toro, and we'll talk about him in a little bit here, which is, it might be where that different writer is able to get away. Like Mohorič, Stoyven gets in the group at the end and was able to, you know, take advantage of people looking at each other. I will go over the start list in detail. We'll go through the last 10 winners. Matteo Vanderpoel goes over the top, well, just near the top with Pogacar, Wout, and who was the other rider there? But he being Matteo, broke off and then beat him in the, in, got away on the downhill and then soloed in. Matteo Mohorič, remember, he got help with the motorbike, had the dropper post. Stoyven, he was, had guys there with him. Van Aert, Stoyven, though, I think he took off because they were looking at each other. Van Aert, Alaphilippe, Nibali, Kwiatkowski, Demar, Degenkolb, Alexander Kristoff. A new start for the classic route. Here is the official route description. 2024 Milano Sanremo. See, it's spelled different all the time. Presented by Crédit Agricole, starts in Pavia, and after coming around 40 kilometers of flat roads astride the Cicchino River, it emerges back into the classic route in Casteggio. From there, the race once again takes the route that has connected Milan to the Riviera di Ponente for over 110 years, through Ovada and the Passo del Ticino, dropping into Genoa in Volturi. From there, it rolls westward by the sea, following the Statale Arerial through Come on, people. I can't do all this. Avoiding the Mani climb, which only featured the route from 2008 to 2013, and Imperia in San Lorenzo al Mar, past the classic sequence of the Capi, the Melli, Cuervo, and Berta. The peloton will negotiate the two climbs that have entered the race route in recent decades, the Cipressa in 1982 and the Poggio di San Marino in 1961. The Cipressa is just over 5.6 kilometers long with a gradient of 4.1%. The highly tested descent leads back down to the SS1 Arerilia. The ascent of the Poggio di San Marino begins with 9 kilometers remaining to the finish, 3.7 kilometers average gradient, less than 4, maximum 8 in the segment before getting to the top of the climb. The road is slightly narrower with 4 hairpin turns in the first 2 kilometers. The descent is testing on asphalt, switchback roads, narrow up points, and with twists and turns as far as the junction with SS1 Aralia. The final part of the descent enters urban San Marino. The last 2 kilometers are along straight urban roads. There is a left-hand bend and a roundabout about 850 meters from the finish line. The last bend leading to the home stretch on the Via Roma is 750 meters from this finish line. The last attack over the Cipressa. Since it was added in 1982 as part of the now famous double treble to close out San Remo, my Italian is superb. The Cipressa remains a key point of reference in the race. At 5.6 kilometers, at 4.1%, the climb isn't hard enough to split the bunch, but positioning is key, and anyone losing contact here almost has a hard fight to chase back. With almost 30 kilometers to go, the Cipressa is followed by 10 kilometers of flats on the Aurelia State Highway, leading back to the right-hander to hit the Poggio. With Pogacar and Vanderpoel arriving as the 5-star favorites, some wonder if the pair might try their hand. A few big names have tried over the years, including Francesco Moser, Gianni Bugno, and even Marco Pantani. The last time a rider successfully won after attacking over the penultimate climb was Gabriel Colombo, who joined Alexander Hunchenkov, Michel Coppolelio, and Max Schiondi in a 4-rider breakaway. The quartet held about a half-minute lead into the chasing group onto the Poggio. Colombo later dashed to the most important victory of his career. Since then, no one has managed to make the difference on the Cipressa. I will get you some weather reports. Thank you, Victor, for inquiring about that. Let's take a look here. I will go weather.com, and let's do San Remo, Italy. See what we have here. See if there's anything that's, will it even give it to me? It's not giving it to me. Italy. All right. Okay. Let's see. San Remo, Italy weather. I heard it was going to be fine. So right now it's 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Saturday, it's Saturday morning over there. And by 9 a.m. it's 56. They don't really give me much more than that. So it looks like it's going to be fine. So sunshine, I think it'll be perfectly fine for what they have going on. Okay. There is the route. It's or the profile itself. You can see the Ciccino about halfway through, 138.3 kilometers in. Then they hit the Cipressa, 266 kilometers. And then they hit the Poggio at 282, finishing off the race at 288. There's the profiles for the two main climbs. Cipressa, once again, 5.6, maximum of 9%, but an average of 4.1. The steeper parts in the first, would they say 5.6 kilometers? It's in the first, you know, two-thirds of it. The less steeper parts, it kind of mellows out over the top. 4.3, 3.5, there's a max of 8% on the Poggio at 3.7 total distance. But that's not what kills it. That's not what kills it. What kills it is the actual, the difficulty of the distance and wearing you down at this point, you know, depending on what the weather is, fighting for position, what the other parts of the climb of the race have been, and then hitting these two climbs. And as we see it and discussed the last few years, it's really come down to the Poggio, where you've had last year, like I said, Wout, you had Matthew Vanderpoel and Pogacar were just killing it. And, you know, it's a full sprint. And so it's like a climber, but here's what it is. We saw this with, and we can see this with Vingegaard can do this. Primoz Roglic can do this. Remco, all the top four riders in the world, the climbing types, they can also have a punch. And when we've seen Michael Matthews coming to a sprint finish in the Tour de France with a slight uphill, and he's been beat by Pogacar, you understand that at the end of a race, which sometimes is the most important for the legs, the difficulty or the ability for Pogacar to go deep and win those has been significant. We've seen that. Okay, that was also what famously, I think, took him down in the 2022 Tour de France, where he was going for these things too much and then you know, ends up conceding his time at the end when it kind of gets all added up. And that's been the thing with the Roglification stuff as well. Your weather app can enter Italy. Locations are interesting. Weather, yeah, I was able to kind of get it. But the point is, it's going to be fine weather, I think, sir. It might be a little cool, but it's not going to be like before where they had to take them in buses to different areas to skip a whole section of the race course to get him to the start, a different start in a sense for the race. Okay, let's see if we can go. Oh, I think I want to do. There we go. Let's try that one. Okay, let's look at a little bit of this live stats stuff here for Milano San Remo. The highest ranked riders coming into this, and I'm going to do the start list here as well. Pogacar, Mads Pedersen, Jesper Philipsen, Mark Hirschi, Matthew Vanderpoel. We'll open this up a little. Oh, it's not going to show us. Last monument won by world champ, Remco Evenepoel, Liège, Peter Sagan in Paris-Roubaix, and Van Baarden, Paolo Bettini. Yeah, but Remco's not here. Okay, so let's take a look at his starts and then kind of walk through each. And then we could get a little bit better understanding of who I think is going to read this. Read one of the coastal roads had a landslide, so they might need to reroute the course. Yes, I saw that as well. That was from Brian. Thank you. They were hoping to get it done in time, but I think it was early enough along where it's not going to make much of a significant change. Matter of fact, when I wake up in the morning and I turn it on, and then turn it back off because I see there's still 80 kilometers to go, and then turn it back on with 30 kilometers to go, I'm not going to even know about this landslide unless they try to go over it and it takes them out. Then we've got a problem. Okay, so let's take a look here. Alpecin De Koninck, as you know, they come with actually two riders. I don't want to slight at all Jasper Philipsen. He's in a contract year. He needs a good race. A good finish. He had did he have one stage win? I want to say at Torino. He's been okay. He's been kind of not quite up there, but he has been. But my understanding is that he's been actually training in a way that this might be a good race for him. So you see the mix between he and Vanderpoel. There's a good chance that they do well. You've also got Johnny Vermarsh, Xander Maurice, I don't know who he is, Axel Lawrence, Soren Kray Anderson, so, and Sylvain Dillier. At least the four of those, Dillier, Soren Kray Anderson, and Philipsen with Matt Van de Poel, I mean, you're looking at a pretty good little team going down there. Arnaud Démare does come in as a defending champ for Arkea B&B. I'm not at all thinking that he's going to get anywhere near this. I haven't really seen much that he would be impressive for. And I just think it's a different race going into, oh, you heard Soren Kray is out. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Currently he's in there. Let's see if the Velo news is an update on that as well. No, he's showing it in, on there. So they haven't updated that one, I guess, if what you're saying is correct. Astana, Case Bull, I mean, I guess, Alexei Lutsenko, Fedorov maybe. But yeah, Case Bull is your best chance. I'm not really pulling anything. You know, you may get a little bit of a move at the bottom. Danny Van Poppel for Bora, he does go well. But once again, he's on as Matteo Sobrero as well, but they're just on a second tier. If, and I'm going to talk a little bit about where I think the Chipressa may come into account. I'm going to just do it right now, which is there's rumors that the Chipressa may be in play with Pogacar. Now, could be, and he's not really said much about it. Remember how far out he went. Now, there's, 30 kilometers or so from the Chipressa to the finish. That's nothing for what he just did at Strada Bianca. It's a little longer race, but he went 80 kilometers out at that point. So you never know about what Pogacar might have in mind and in store to do that. I think with his team, if he had had McNulty there, that is something that you could see them setting up, maybe coming over the top. Either way, I think the Chipressa is going to play a pivotal factor, which is you're going to see someone like Pogacar and his team light it up. If they get away, they get away. If they don't, they'll sit, and it will have softened everything up for the next time at 288, you know, 260 some kilometers to go. That's a lot of mileage in the legs, and so you're not going to see someone like Danny Van Poppel as an example being able to get over the next one with those front group. Kofidis, I mean, Simon Geschke, I don't know. There's really no one I'm impressed with going on there. Benjamin Thomas is their lead rider. Nicolo Bonifacio for Team Coratec Vini Fattini. He could ride well. He's got a nice finish on him. But once again, can you sustain? You're going to have to be in, you know, kind of the shape of your life, which we saw. Caleb Ewan, we'll talk about here in a sec, was like that a few years ago going over the top. But then everyone's looking at him. And that's why I think Stuyven, I think that was the year Stuyven won because of that. Decathlon, they've had a really good year. Benoit Cosnefroy, Bösenhagen used to be one that I would point to. Oliver Nyssen, they've got Larry Warbass in there. He's their helper. Cosnefroy, he's been actually riding fairly well already this year. He's got a decent finish for if he can get himself over the top with these guys. Evidently, he's kind of bailing out from trying to be a Tour de France guy. So this might be one of his focuses. AEF Education, Alberto Bettiol just won a race, mid-week race. It was very impressive, took off. I want to say 30 kilometers and soloed in. They were trying to bring him in the whole time. He had his skin suit on. He had his aero helmet, and he was ready to go, and he held off the field for the win. Let me just see. By the way, I'm drinking this OPB. It's Oak Park Brewery, India Pale Ale. It's from Oak Park here in Sacramento. Kind of interesting. Not too bad. Milano Torino. That's what he did. He won Milano Torino, so that was solid for him. Other than that, Nilsson Paulus is seventh last year. He's not in it. He hurt his knee. So evidently his knee's been bothering him. So he's not making it to the race this year. But they have an okay team. Michael Valgren, Vandenberg, Harry Sweeney, Yul Tode. They have a Japanese rider in there. Audrey Amador and Jonas Roush. So Bettiol is obviously their best chance. And he's obviously flying right now. So it will be, you know, he's got a chance at least. He has won a monument before. Stefan Kung for Groupama FDJ. He just went down. They had this mid-week race. Was that the Milano? No, that wasn't the Milano race. It was, well, let's take a look. And they had some cobblestones. Was that just yesterday? The Grand Prix de Dinan? That was the one, or was it the Denil Norca course? I think that's the one. It had some cobbles in it. And he went down at the front. There was like a chase group of like, I want to say 12 10, 12 riders. He went down at the front and every it just dominoed. It was pretty bad. But he's been riding fairly well also. So has Lawrence Pithy. So you got those for Groupama FDJ. Once again, that's your second tier, though. And to get up and over, if they do, then they have a good chance. But that's the problem you do. Let's say you get over the top of the climb. You're a sprinter in there. And you come down now with another group. It is prime. And we've seen that multiple times. It is prime for someone to break away. Because who is going to take the lead and to take the poles? Well, you're not going to because you're the sprinter, but they're not going to want to pull you along. So that's always a problem. Ineos, Grenadiers, Filippo Ganna, that's who was in the group with them last year. Wout, Mateo, Pogacar, and Filippo Ganna coming in there. Was he, I want to say he was third or so last year. Let's take a look. Going into the race, Milano Sanremo, he was second. So he won the field sprint over those guys. So there you go. Yeah, so he's been, I don't know that he's been riding, like in Kwiatkowski, he's a winner of this race. Thomas Pidcock has been flying, doing well. I don't know if he's been flying. So that's it. That's an interesting group. I don't know who, as long as you understand who your main guy is and you have strength. I mean, Kwiatkowski has never been a guy that wouldn't do his work for a teammate. So could be his chance. I don't think he's, it's kind of a little longer in the tooth. So you're probably still looking at a Pidcock or Filippo Ganna for them. And as we said, Filippo Ganna can get over the top. He did last year very impressively and is able to finish if need be because he won the field sprint from the remainders. Intermarché, Guanti, Biniam Girmay. I mean, the dude could sprint just fine. We'll see if he can get over the top. Other than that, you have Mike Tunisin, George Zimmerman, Calmajon, I don't know. So he's one of those guys that, you know, you're not going to look for the team support and so much. Just can you follow a wheel at the right time, put him in position to get over the climb. Israel Primertek, Simon Clark, Riley Sheehan, American, Hugo Houllet, Jacob Fulsang, Guillaume Bovin. I don't really see a rider that I would pick out of there. Maybe Simon Clark gets over the top with those guys. Fulsang back in the day, I would say has that good possibility, but I don't really see anybody for Israel Primertek. Lil Trek, as they call him. Mads Pettersson, he's been winning all kinds of stuff this year. He's looking really good over at Paris-Nice. He is that sprinter that gets over climbs. And, you know, look, we just talked about it. These climbs aren't extreme, but you need to be able to sprint, continually put it down, and where the uphill, the gravity pull on you isn't as extreme as it is with others. And he does climb better than most than sprinters. So once again, he is in great position. Now, Jonathan Milan won us over at Toronto Adriatico. He's a little bigger guy. He does go uphill just fine as well. So there's been people saying this guy's been flying. He's likely to be the one that is going to be for the team. But then you have Tom Squeens, he just, lightened it up on the early classics, did great over in Strade Bianche. And then you have Jesper Stuyven, who has won this race before. I think Mads Pettersson is the guy that they go for. And unless Squeens gets in a move accidentally, you really are going all in for Mads Pettersson. This time he hopes he goes over the front with Filippo Ganna, Matthew van der Poel, Pogacar et al. And, he's hoping he's the one. Lotto Destiny, taken off the top rung as far as being a World Tour team, but they did get the invite here. Maxim van Gils, we saw what he can do at Strade Bianche. It was very impressive. Other than that, Victor Campenaerts, he's always good for being up there, but I don't see him with any kind of punch. I wouldn't be surprised if Van Gils goes the way he rode at Strade Bianche. You might see him being able to get up in that front group over the top because he was very impressive over there in the Italian White Roads. Team Movistar, I could be totally wrong, but David Chimelay, maybe their best bet, but not really. Soudal Quickstep, look, Alaphilippe looks like your guy, but he hasn't been up there. Casper Asgreen, he would be the next guy. Cateo, all of these guys, but I'm thinking Luke Lamperti of any of them. He's been able to put in some impressive finishes here. He might be too young. I don't know the team. He just got added to the roster. I think there could be a chance. I'm not putting anything on this team, actually. I would be surprised if any other guys got into the top five, but definitely look for one of them to be in the top 10. And I think it might be Cataneo or Aspin, if anybody on there. DSM, Freeman Attack, Postal, NL, Kevin Vermaaka. Looks like he might be their main guy here. You have Chris Hamilton. He's also a great rider, but Kevin Vermaaka has been riding well. So it would be, look, I hope he gets his chance and it's his day. If he gets in here, top 10 or so, what did he do end up last year? Let's take a look here. First of all, what has he done? He got fifth at Torino Milano. That's pretty impressive. Torino Adriatico, he was 24th in the overall, ninth on a stage. He got sixth at the Fon Adour Classic, Tour de Alps. He was sixth overall. That's this year. So he's been, solid. He's only 23. I don't know why it feels like he's been riding longer than that, but he hasn't. Did he do Milan San Remo? He was 71st here last year. So as far as his track record coming into, maybe it's his chance. Team Jayco, you got Michael Matthews. You also have Luke Plapp, who we know is just going just fine, or Plappy, as they like to call him over there in the Down Under. But yeah. Team Jayco, Lulu. I thought we talked about Caleb Ewing, but I don't see him on the start here. So maybe he got pulled. I haven't really been seeing that he's been doing much this year. Lucas Hamilton can go just well, but Michael Matthews, this is set for him. If he's not getting too old, I say Michael Matthews or Luke Plapp might be able to hold out for that team. Team Pulte, Cometa. I don't know anybody on that team, so we're just going to skip on over to Team Visma Lisa Bike, and we'll talk about their name here in a second. Christophe Laporte. Christophe Laporte's won a classic. He can get up and down and over these little climbs and has a good finish. He's very good strategically. So obviously he's the best chance for them. And I could see him doing what Wout was doing, because he's done exactly that before as far as getting up there. Olaf Coy, though, you never know. I mean, if he's in position and he's able to follow the wheels, he hasn't been. He's almost trending more towards that type that you'd see with the Mads Pedersen. So I will be interesting to see if he's able to get up and over there. But you should expect to see a Christophe Laporte for Team Lisa Bike up in position. The Tudor Pro Cycling Team, they've been out hitting their coverage this way. They're like a guy that's a 4 dating a 10. They've been getting some wins already, and Matteo Trentin can do it, but I've seen him getting in positions to expecting it, but he hasn't really been the guy. So we'll see if he's still got it. Maybe he's getting a little too old. In the UAE team, it's all for Tadej Pogacar. You've got Kovi, Del Toro, Hershey, Novak, Ulisi, Tim Wellens. Like I said, Del Toro got put in there in place of Brandon McNulty. Let me see. Brian may be talking about here, because I think I was just going to say, did you watch Horner's take on Poggi's chances? He said, go solo or let the group come back to 10 plus, rides over Poggi to create chaos, pulls a story even after the disband. I did see that. And I always think Horner has very good insights. He also was mentioning Isaac Del Toro here, which I had mentioned last week as well, he started those climbs in the back for his Strava. But the reality is he's not good at positioning. So that positioning means a lot, especially in these races. You don't have time to make this recovery. You miss out on it a little bit. So I don't know if Del Toro is going to be, because that's a thing Brandon McNulty would be much better at. So that might be something that they miss here. I did see that. And he also said Caleb confirmed to be out like McNuggets. Okay, so Caleb's out. I haven't been seeing where Caleb actually was showing anything, two, 3 years ago when he went over the top there with Stuyven, and he looked great. He was one of these sprinters to be coming over the top, and you're like, holy shit, you got it. And then Trek's team, outwitted everybody. With that in mind, is this move? I think this can happen. I mean, this. I think, like I said, Pogacar showed, 2 weeks or so ago with Strada Bianca that he can go from any distance. And he's been showing that for years. I did a breakdown of last year or so about all these guys there, where Pogacar specifically was doing attacks from, like the Tour of Slovenia, I think it was, 50 kilometers out. He does those quite often. It's pretty interesting to see. And I actually just saw, listened to Larry Warbass talk about it on the cycling podcast. And he said, it's a different way that they wear you down early. Like he talked specifically about, I think it was the first mountain stage that they did at Torino, where it was like 30 kilometers out, and you saw Vingigo go there? Well, they wear you down before, and then he goes, and then what are you going to do? You've got 20 guys in the group. There's not much there, and you could do that. So the problem with this is it's not that kind of a mountain. So they might do that. The problem, like I said, is then you've got to ride like hell between the Chipresa and the Poggio. If you do have your team, you could do that. Now, if it comes back together, it comes back together, but I think it comes back together too much. So I don't know that that's going to be the case, which was they come over the top with let 10 riders go, and then they go on up. I think he's going to go hard over the Chipresa, hoping that this happens, but it's going to be together, and it's just going to have softened everybody up. And then the next time, it's once again, it's a little easier to go. Uno X, Christoph doesn't have a chance. Sorry. He had a nice sprint there the other day, but it's not going to be it. Maybe Odd Christian Eiking. Jonas Abramson, some other guys there. The VF group, no one there. They're just there for Italy. And Bahrain, they do have Matej Mohoric. Remember him in the drop C post. And the motorbike, Fred Wright, also in there. But yeah, Mohoric is the guy they would be pulling for. So Tyler, who is your picks? I mean, I think you pick. I would love to see Tade actually win this. So I think my top three or four are, because I think it is going to come down, and maybe one of these guys does a thing like it last year. I don't know where Matthew Vanderpoel is personally at this. Like I said, we didn't know where Pogacar was his first race this season. Look what he did. So just not being just I don't think you needed that first race for him to be ready for this. He came off a cyclocross. He's ready to go. He being Vanderpoel. If he's fit, he's fit. You don't need a race for this to happen. And, he's obviously, I think he said he's a little bit more carefree, but I think Tade is on a level right now, showing that with that 80 kilometer solo, that he is going to be a threat. And I think he's going to switch it up from what Matteo did last year. And he's going to be able to go over the top and split that up a little bit. With that in mind, you're going to see a Mads Pedersen, and this is barring wrecks or anything else. You're going to see a Mads Pedersen possibly being able to go with him, at which point it would be a really interesting thing. You decrease the ability of sprinters when the impact, I think, of the 288. Now, I think we saw that with Kwiatkowski winning a few years ago. I'm trying to remember who he was with, but I think it was with some sprinters, and he wins, he's a little guy, and you're able to do that. It just equalizes the field when you're so fit and you're a guy of like Pogacar that's able to go these distances and go super deep. And you just never know where those other people are. So I think you're going to get Mads. You're going to get Vanderpoel. You're going to get Pogacar, of course. And then I think your wild cards are your Christophe Laporte, Luke Lamperti. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he's going to. Filippo Ganna it will be another one up there. And I think that's really about what you're going to end up having. Vanderpoel, maybe even in a Philipsen. So anyway, that's my picks for the race. Who's going to win it, though? I really do think Mads Pedersen is my actual pick for the win. So better be Mads, Pogacar, Vanderpoel with a Christophe Laporte right in there in fourth place or so. Could be totally wrong, but that's what I think. Okay. So tomorrow I think I'm going to show up at Land Park and, go check out the race, over there and maybe do some interviews. That's one in town. But last we had a race here in Chico, and I was looking through, and it's just the field where, I mean, the four fives, okay, there you go. That's a pretty good field. That's 30-some races. John Zane won there out of Chico. The four fives, the junior 15-18s, Grant Edmeister. You got a Tyler in there. That's good to see. Masters 35, 3-4s, Van Geslany. I don't know who these are. This had 10 riders. Maybe I'll learn these people's names. Michael Charlton over David Albrecht and Mike Castaldo. I know those guys. On the Masters 50 plus 1-2-3, women 3-4, Aaron Delano, Hannah Solberg, Janine Rude. There's only five of them that actually did that race. Masters 40 plus, there's only three of them there. Karen Edwards of the females won that. Cat 3, only three. 2-1 didn't F. Grant Edminster over Joel Hammond. Crit 3-4, 35 plus. Ashley Blaine, David Grunman, I'm sorry, Blaine Ashley, David Grunner, Max Noda. Grunman's out there still, so that's good to see. Women Pro 1-2-3, one person. Ah, that's sad. Karen Edwards. I hope she she had a good ride. Matt Michael of Team Tyrone Elite wins over Ethan Jones and Blake Macharis. Let's see if I know anybody else here. Grunman was in there. David Albrecht, Mike Gastaldo, Ryan Oaks. Ryan Oaks did not place though. Bummer. Okay. Well, let's go here. Oh, Brian has a comment. I hope Quickstep let them pretty go for it like Vodders did with Palace the first year. Yeah, I completely agree. And I did mention him kind of as a joke, but I mean, I could see Lamperti shocking us with his ability to get over this thing, and with he's got some speed, and that would be great. So he's been doing been riding well already, and so this is good for him to at least to get down there and get a chance. Okay, tomorrow we've got bike racing here. Let's see, there's 52 entered. That's pretty good field. 52 entered for the Cat 1-2-3, 50 plus, 60 plus. I'm just going to highlight my team there. Data driven athlete. Who's are they in? No, there's no one in that age. That's that's not good. That's too old. But they have the 60 plus. Okay. I don't know. I got to get to know these guys, I guess. 35, 1-2-3. Are we in here, Brian Zimney? I'm not seeing if you're registered for any of this. Is data driven athlete? Yeah, we've got two riders in here. Jeff Scott and Stefan Creason. And the Pro 1-2-3. How many riders? 53 entries. So not too bad. I'm looking for, do I see a Brian Zimney? I didn't see Brian Zimney in here. Brian, you gonna do the race? All right, so I'm going to try to show up for that race tomorrow. So Milan-San Remo, let me just look back here because I want to see what's coming up after Milan-San Remo. And, oh, you know, let's take a look at this real quick. Oh, actually, it's not here. Here we go. Evidently, there is a Team Visma bike. They have a documentary on Amazon, but it's geo-restricted. So, but I'm gonna check it out. But anyway, this is their, and it talks about Sepp Kuss in the tour last year, so it'll be interesting. Anyway, this is their new little video.
It's on all fronts today. The tactics of team. Wait a sec.
Van het Visma team. Ik bedoel Team Visma.
Nou, in principe hoeven ze niet veel te doen toch bij Team Lease Bike.
Nee, kijk, hier hebben ze dus het perfecte team voor bij Lease a Bike.
Het is Visma Lease a Bike.
It's not that hard. This is where the name game begins. We challenge you, commentators and podcasters, to use our correct team name as often as possible during the Spring Classics. Are you the one who can maintain the highest rate of accuracy? If so, the name game award by Team Visma Lease a Bike is yours for the taking.
All right. Team Visma Lease a Bike. Did I do it right? I think I did. Let's go back to... happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Victor. Let's go back to... And then we'll close out on this. It's been a decent show. So next World Tour races. So we've got Milan-San Remo, and then the next, the 18th. Does that start this next week? Volta Catalunya. Bruges de Pan, I think there's the 3 days de Pan it used to be, E3 Saxo Bank on the 22nd, Wegelgem, Doors Door van der Vlaarden, that's Tour de, and then Ronde van der Vlaarden, so the Doors, and then the Flanders, and then the Basque Country, Paris-Roubaix, Amstel-Gold, La Flèche-Wallon, but Volta Catalunya, that will be interesting. That does not have... trying to see which one of those. So Sepp Kuss is going out there with Kian Uytterbrooks. That is going to be an interesting, I don't know what they're doing here, but I think Uytterbrooks might be their guy on Team Visma Lease a Bike. Might be their guy they're trying to make into the next great thing. I don't know. He doesn't excite me. He is fairly impressive, but that will be an interesting thing to see what's going on. Okay. I bet Visma sponsors are pissed, Brian says. Maybe so. I don't know. Okay, so anybody, who are your predictions for a great, what do you call it? Milan San Remo? I don't know. Once again, I think Mads Pedersen. Who am I pulling for? I don't know that I'm pulling for Mads Pedersen. I kind of want to see Pogacar win this, or Luke Lamperti. All right. See you tomorrow.
Froome now, he goes on the offensive, he goes on the attack over the top of this final climb, and nobody at the moment can go with him.
He had 75 kilometers to go, and now under the Flamme Rouge, there he is still, the virtual Maglia Rosa on the road. Who'd have thought it at the start of today? But Chris Froome, master.